Hear the word. Psalm number 46. I think it's quite appropriate scripture for these times that we live in. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder and burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. So much is going on in our world. I've never lived in a time where we've had an earthquake and a hurricane in the same week. I mean, I've read about it. And on top of that, if you lose everything, it could be in a thunderstorm. It's still an earthquake or a hurricane. '9/11 happened 10 years ago, but it's still with us today. I was reading somewhere, World War II is over, but 9/11 is present. We live in constant fear. You go to the airport. High alert. You go through all of these technological gadgets. We spent billions of dollars. Things has happened in the last 10 years. We thought we had it made in the country. Stock markets crashed. Home values went down. 401ks don't even exist. You can't retire. They hold it against you if you're unemployed. They don't even want to interview you if you're unemployed. Craziness. It's fear. We're afraid to fly. We're afraid to drive. We're afraid to drink the water. We live in constant fear. I was reading this little story about this young boy. The terrible thunderstorm. It's a little guy, lightning and thundering, and he was afraid, and his mother's going into the room to put him to bed. And he says to his mom, "Mom, would you sleep with me tonight?" She went back and reassured him, said, "No, I got to go back into daddy's room." She hugged him and put him to bed. So there was a long silence, and as she walked out of the room, he said, "The big sissy." We all live in this constant fear that we don't know what's going to happen, and we are scared to be by ourselves. But I want you to know God is our refuge in the time of trouble. You can have that confidence that God is present. God doesn't always protect us from the troubles. Sometimes we got to go through trouble, but it's good to know even in the midst of trouble, God is present. It's good to know you can have that confidence. Though the mountains melt, and though the floods come, and though the earthquake comes, and though the tornadoes come, and though the rivers flow, it's good to know that you have the confidence that God's got this. That we are not in this world by ourselves. I thought that Psalm 46 would be a good psalm and a good scripture to preach on this 9/11 day so that we can have the confidence, even in this time of fear, that God is still God. And he is from everlasting to everlasting. He didn't just start being God. He's been God and will be God forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, the Israelites had the same problem that we had as Americans a few years ago. Remember, the Israelites built this great walled-in city of Jerusalem. They thought that nobody could ever penetrate the walls of Jerusalem. They built a city up on a big hill. They put all these walls around, and they thought nobody could ever penetrate this city. And lo and behold, here comes the Babylonians. And they captured Jerusalem, and they took them into captivity, and we thought that nobody could ever penetrate America. After all, we've got these ships and these airplanes. Nobody can get through our security. Our airplanes became our gods. Our ships and our armies and our navy and our military. We thought, here we are on the other side of the world. They got to travel thousands of miles. And lo and behold, right here in Paterson, New Jersey, they are being trained to kill us. Using our own computers at Paterson University. And right down the street from where we live, might have been our neighbors. You don't know how the devil is working. Look at somebody and say, you better trust in God. Don't trust in airplanes. Don't trust in ships. It's all right to have, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust. Sweetest rain, but holy. Lean on Jesus' name. We thought that we were invincible. Let me make it personal. You know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, I've been working now for the last 30 years, and my 401k is going up. I thought I had it made. I was just waiting on the time to come to retire. I was invincible. I mean, I've been storing away. I've been putting it away. And lo and behold, and then I thought, you know, the price of the house, they said, they trained us this way. Just buy a house and hold it. want it. Make sure you buy in a good neighborhood. Look at somebody say, ain't no good neighborhood. The value fell in all the neighborhoods. We thought we were becoming invincible, and lo and behold, everything. Look at somebody say, the bottom fell out. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his right. I dare not trust in things. Then, you know, we thought, well, you should have been saved. When you ain't got nothing because you didn't save. And there we were saving all along. We still ain't got nothing. But we do have God. I just don't believe he's brought us this far to leave us. I believe that we're going to make it anyhow. I trust in God. That's the word that America needs. Now let me tell you one other thing. I'll leave it to you whether Jeremiah Wright was right or not. I'll leave it to you to determine whether Malcolm X was right. When they said, you know, the chickens is coming home to roost. I mean, you know, white America don't like to hear that, but look at somebody and say, you can't treat the rest of the world as evil. You cannot go around and malign people and kill people and steal from people and think they're going to love you just because you're an American. Now, I'm going to leave it to you to make your own decision. But the truth of the matter is, people in Africa want the same thing for their kids as you want for yours. People in India, people in Iraq, people in Afghanistan, they may not be very well educated, but they still need food for their kids. They still need water to drink. They still need medicine. Lord, help us to know the difference between justice and revenge. We want justice for what people did to us and those people that we love. But there is a difference between justice and revenge. The Lord says what? Vengeance is mine. Help us as a nation. To know that just shipping jobs overseas so you can get it done cheap has a price on it also. And it's not just that you know that we can't get jobs over here, but you know, people around the world, you know, watch CNN. Around the world, they see us driving in our big cars, and they hear us bragging about the poorest person over here is rich compared to people around the world, and it hurts, and it turns into hate. Maybe we need to do more with the Peace Corps. Maybe we ought to do more in terms of giving. I mean, I can remember in college when they start talking about the Marshall Plan and all of that, when they were going around the world, you know, helping nations and all of that. I was thinking, why in the world? We got to be helping nations, spending all our money. But now I've come to understand that we are all tied together in one garment. And that what hurts us, what hurts in Cape Town hurts in New York.
Here it is, this text. I thought it was a perfect text. But for this, God is our refuge. He's our strength. A very precious.
was reading this one little thing that I liked and said that, you know, when Americans pray, so I can get it right, it says, in America, Christians pray for their burdens. In America, Christians pray for the burdens of suffering to be lifted from their backs. But in the rest of the world, Christians pray for stronger backs so that they can bear their burdens. Isn't that wonderful? It helps us to understand that we don't want the burdens. We pray that we will not have the burdens, but other people pray, Lord, just strengthen my back. I wish I could tell you that we wouldn't have any more attacks. I wish I could tell you there would be no more bombings. I wish I could tell you that, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about taking the subway, going to New York. I wish I could tell you that, but I cannot. But I can tell you this. History teaches us. History teaches us that God will take care. History teaches us. God may not, he may not be right there at that moment. Remember? Sometimes you have to wait on God. Remember when Abraham had to sacrifice Isaac? But he had to wait. Remember at the Red Sea? They had to wait. Pharaoh's army was behind him. And, you know, if it had been me, I would have said, where are you, God? But he didn't show up until they got right there and heard the army behind them. Look at somebody and say, he's on time. Sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes you're going to have to cry. Sometimes you're going to have to wait on the unemployment check. Sometimes you're going to have to wait on the job. Sometimes you're going to have to wait on the healing. But our history teaches us that he's an on-time God. History teaches us, though the earthquakes come, history teaches us, though the rivers flow, history teaches us, though the oceans roar, that God is able. I can remember studying history and saying, why I gotta read all this old history? But the more I read, how many of you know that there are no surprises to God? And history teaches us what he did yesterday, he'll do today. And what he did today, he'll do tomorrow. Yeah. I was reading this story about this young university student who's going to university, and he lived upstairs on, I don't know, the third floor, but there was a, on the first floor, there was a old musician that lived on the first floor. And this old musician, every day this young man is going up to the third floor to go to, he stop in and say hello to the old musician on the third floor, and on the first floor, and he would ask him every day, what's the good news today? The old man would pick up his tuning fork and strike it on the arm of his wheelchair and respond, that's middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It's middle C today. And it will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat, and the piano in the parlor is out of tune. But that's middle C. No matter what happens, Jesus Christ is middle C. No matter what comes, no matter how many terrorists strike, no matter what kind of earthquakes come, no matter what kind of hurricanes come, no matter what kind of violence take place, he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is middle C. When you go off, where are you over there? Give me a middle C. Give me a middle C. Give me a middle C. Give me a, they've been playing the same note for over a thousand. Look at that middle C. It's the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Everybody's life. Everybody in here, everybody. You good-looking folk. You know, you pretty folk. Every now and then, your life gets out of tune. And you need to find middle C. Do I have a witness in here? I mean, you folk with a whole lot of money, you folk who are well-connected in Congress and in the State House and in the White House, every now and then, you sing flat. You need to hear. Give me one more time. You need middle C. And every now and then, when you get so excited about how much you know and how smart you are and what degrees you have, you need to make your way to the Church of Jesus Christ so you will know Jesus Christ is middle C. And when you get out beside yourself, you need to come back to yourself. Storms will rage. Where are you, John? Though the storms keep on raging in my life. Though troubles come, and though earthquakes, and though all manner of things happen in your life. Turn back to Psalm 46. I know you're familiar with Psalm 23, but you need to know something about Psalm 46. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the triumph. Therefore will I not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and trouble, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river that flows. And God is in the midst of her. God is the great middle C. God helps me to get my life back in tune. God helps me to make it. Now here's the other thing. I'm about done. I guess I'm done already, but I'm just not going to sit down yet. You can't hear middle C if you're always talking. That's why it says in here, be still. And don't guess and know that I am. President Bush running around, he had one great moment when he did something great after 9/11. He did one thing great in 8 years. This is not a political sermon, but I'm just telling the truth. Still and know I'm God. You need to know he's God before the storm comes. Do I have a witness? Before you have been diagnosed with something, before you lose your property in a storm, you need to know I'm God. And the only way you can know he's God is every now and then you just got to hush. Listen for middle C. And when you hear middle C again, he can bring you back to your best self so you can give him the praise and you can give him the honor and you can give him the glory. No wonder. To me, one of the great hymns of the church is, great is.